Good morning, everyone. Today I'm going to be talking about myths, gonorrhea infections by anatomic site among asymptomatic men who have sex with men. The current CDC STD treatment guidelines recommend at least annual gonorrhea screening for sexually active MSM at all exposed anatomic sites. Specifically, a urethral test is recommended for MSM reporting any insertive sex, a rectal test is recommended for MSM reporting any receptive anal sex, and a pharyngeal test is recommended for MSM with receptive oral genital exposure. Providers should follow these recommendations regardless of reported condom use. And more frequent screening, for example, at 3 to 6 month intervals, is recommended for MSM who have multiple or anonymous partners, sex in conjunction with illicit drug use, or who have sex partners who participate in these activities. And with respect to the diagnostic test to use for GC screening, the guidelines indicate that providers should use culture or a test that has been cleared by the FDA or locally verified in accordance with applicable statutes. So in the analysis that I'm going to describe, we had two primary objectives. The first objective was to determine the proportion of GC infections that were asymptomatic at the urethra, rectum, and the pharynx. The second objective was to estimate the proportion of infections by anatomic site that are missed or remain undiagnosed as a result of incomplete testing. So for this analysis, data were collected from a sentinel surveillance project called the MSM Prevalence Monitoring Project. And this activity was designed to assess the prevalence of and trends in STDs, HIV, and risk behaviors among MSM, and to inform local and national prevention and control efforts. So for this project, demographic, clinical, and behavioral data were collected as part of routine care and reflect testing practices at participating clinics. For this analysis, data were analyzed from a total of 89,488 visits from 10 STD clinics and gay men's health clinics in the 8 participating cities that are listed here. The analysis was limited to visits that took place between January of 2002 through December of 2006 and to MSM between 15 and 65 years of age. The type of GC diagnostic test used was dependent upon the project area and included culture, NATs, and nucleic acid hybridization tests, or DNA probes. And in the next few slides, I will be reviewing the results of this analysis. But before doing so, I wanted to point out that the clinic visit was the unit of analysis throughout this study, and that these data may reflect multiple visits by a single patient rather than individual patients. In addition, we calculated city-specific medians and ranges for GC test positivity and the proportion of tests done to allow each city to contribute equally to the estimates, despite the fact that disproportionate numbers of MSM were seen across the cities. So in the figure that I'm presenting here, this summarizes the proportion of visits where GC tests were performed and positivity in the overall MSM population. So this includes symptomatic and asymptomatic visits. As depicted by the first green bar, tests for urethral gonorrhea were conducted at approximately 73% of visits, while tests for rectal and pharyngeal gonorrhea were conducted at about 28% and 43% of visits, respectively. And you may notice that testing for rectal GC appears relatively low here, but please keep in mind that the proportion is calculated from all visits and is not stratified by exposure status, which I'm going to show in one of the following slides. So when we looked at GC positivity by anatomic site, the site with the highest positivity was the urethra at 11.7%, as shown in the first yellow bar, followed by the rectum and the pharynx. And although data are not shown on this slide, I thought it was important to point out that overall, urethral, rectal, and pharyngeal gonorrhea positivity and the proportion of tests done at each site remained stable from 2002 to 2006. On this slide, I've included a flowchart to help depict what population we looked at. As previously stated, our second objective was to estimate the proportion of GC infections that remain undiagnosed as a result of incomplete testing. In order to calculate this estimate, we defined two groups. The first group consisted of asymptomatic MSM who reported at least one exposure and who were tested at all sites of reported exposure. So we're going to call this the tested group. And the second group, as shown here, depicts MSM who reported at least one exposure, but were not tested at all of the exposed sites. And we're going to call this the not tested group. So again, the goal here was to calculate the percent of infections that remained undiagnosed in the not tested group. On this slide, the median proportion of asymptomatic and symptomatic gonococcal infections by anatomic site is presented. In this analysis, symptoms for urethral gonorrhea were defined as urethral discharge of dysuria on the day of the visit or a clinical diagnosis of urethritis. Rectal symptoms were defined as rectal discharge or rectal pain on the day of the visit or a clinical diagnosis of proctitis. And finally, symptoms for pharyngeal infection included reporting oral symptoms such as a sore throat on the day of the visit. So as you can see on this slide, while most of the urethral infections were associated with symptoms, the majority of rectal and pharyngeal infections were not associated with symptoms, with 74% of rectal and 89% of pharyngeal infections being asymptomatic. This next slide shows the proportion of asymptomatic visits tested when an exposure was reported. As shown with the yellow bar, asymptomatic men were tested for gonorrhea at all exposed anatomic sites during 52% of visits. Furthermore, among asymptomatic patients, gonorrhea testing at the urethral site took place in 91% of visits in which a urethral exposure was reported. Rectal testing occurred in 64% of visits, and pharyngeal testing occurred at 74% of visits. And although ranges are not depicted on this slide, please keep in mind that large variations were seen across the eight participating cities. So next, we looked at positivity of GC among asymptomatic MSM that were tested at all reported sites of exposure, or our tested group. And among this group, we found that at least one test was positive during 5.9% of visits. When we looked at positivity by anatomic site, as shown in this figure, infections were identified in a median of 1.1% of urethral specimens, 5.2% of rectal specimens, and 3.5% of pharyngeal specimens. In order to calculate the estimated undiagnosed infections, we multiplied the positivity in the tested group, shown here, for each anatomic site by the number of visits that were in the not tested group for each anatomic site. So next, I'm going to go over the major findings that I would like to highlight. The figure presented here shows the estimated proportion of GC infections that remain undiagnosed in the not tested group. To get at infections that would have gone untreated, we only counted an infection at a particular anatomic site as missed if an infection was not diagnosed at another site for that visit. So as shown in this figure, while we estimated that only 8.6% of urethral infections were missed as a result of incomplete screening, a substantial proportion of rectal and pharyngeal infections were missed, with estimates of over 35% and 25% respectively. And again, please note that although the ranges are not shown here, large variations were seen across our participating clinics. There were a few limitations to our findings. First, to calculate the percent of infections missed, we made the assumption that infections were equally common in both the tested and the not tested groups. Secondly, the population in this analysis reflects persons seeking care at STD clinics and gay men's health clinics, and therefore these findings may not be representative of the overall MSM population. Third, medical records and testing practices were not standardized across all participating clinics. For example, there were some differences in the time frames used for the collection of risk behaviors. And finally, this analysis is based on data collected from clinic visits and may reflect multiple visits by individual patients, which could slightly alter the estimates. So in conclusion, we found that GC infection is high among asymptomatic MSM, with the highest prevalence of infection occurring in the rectum, followed by the pharynx and the urethra. These data also show that the majority of GC infections at non-genital sites are asymptomatic, with 74% of rectal infections and 89% of pharyngeal infections not being associated with symptoms. And finally, a substantial proportion of asymptomatic gonococcal infections are missed at the rectum and the pharynx because MSM are not consistently tested at all sites of exposure as recommended by CDC. So now I'm going to move on to discuss some potential barriers to GC screening. So despite the CDC STD testing and screening recommendations, asymptomatic screening is not regularly performed, largely due to a perceived low prevalence of infection in asymptomatic patients. Furthermore, the asymptomatic nature of these infections is also problematic due to the simple fact that patients who do not have symptoms are less likely to seek medical care. Many providers also either do not perform sexual risk assessments or do not gather all the appropriate information needed to evaluate risk and decide upon the appropriate testing strategy. Another limitation, or another reason why routine screening does not occur in many settings, is the current limitations of laboratory testing. For example, although culture has been the gold standard for the diagnosis of GC infections, it has several disadvantages, including being very labor-intensive and the fact that culture may not be widely available in many clinical settings. The implementation of routine NAT screening could greatly improve the control of gonorrhea and MSM, as these tests are more sensitive and easier to use than culture tests. However, the FDA must approve the clearance of commercial NATs for non-genital sites before this can be achieved. In the absence of FDA approval, state health departments and STD clinics can encourage the verification of NATs for rectal and pharyngeal screening at the local level with laboratory directors. I'll try to speed it along. All right, so what are the implications to our findings? First, we want to encourage providers to conduct routine gonorrhea screening for sexually active MSM based on reported exposure rather than symptoms only, since the majority of infections at non-genital sites are asymptomatic. Ensuring that appropriate STD screening occurs also requires providers to perform detailed, non-judgmental risk assessments of all male patients. These assessments should include asking patients about the gender and number of sex partners and the types of sex they've had to establish risk and exposure. Since there is generally a low perceived need for rectal and pharyngeal testing, we also need to focus our prevention efforts on increasing provider awareness of the CDC STD treatment guidelines and the prevalence of asymptomatic rectal and pharyngeal gonococcal infection. Finally, in order to effectively manage gonorrhea infections, diagnostic tests for rectal and pharyngeal screening must become more widely available to enhance routine screening and to identify undiagnosed asymptomatic infections at all anatomic sites. And that's all I have, but I would like to thank and acknowledge the following people who participated in the MSM Prevalence Monitoring Project.